then, let's go. Okay, good morning, everybody. Hello.
Good morning.
My name's Tim Tierney. I spent all day yesterday sitting quietly in the back of the conference, trying to keep out of the way. But this morning, I am up in front of the conference to tell you about the company I founded 7 years ago and explain why it can be an important additional tool for your kit of software tools that you use to do your job. This company is Cartograph, cartograph.com, Cartograph Incorporated. Cartograph is a web-delivered GIS system with focus upon sharing and collaboration. Okay, keep that in mind. We'll come back around to that after I hit some side issues. Starting first with a brief customer survey. Since I didn't, since I wasn't privy to the survey that Dwayne started off the conference with, some of those results, I'm going to conduct my own survey really quickly here.
I have those for you too. I have separated about the trip.
Oh. Okay, but just to inform my talk today, show of hands. So, who here is not a GIS person? Okay, a few of you. All right. And who here is from a county or an agency or a governmental body of some sort that does not have any GIS, whether you do it or not? So, okay, zero hands. So everybody's coming from somewhere where you've got some GIS capabilities. Somewhere. Okay, good. That's informative. Third and last question. Who here at your place of work, is there a web GIS capability of some sort? Oh, okay. All right. That's about 42%. Thank you. All right. Okay, great. Well, now I'm going to start into the meat and potatoes of this by telling you some things about myself. I am also a GIS person, but the way I came to GIS, well, I think the way most of us came to GIS was, we all have our unique stories. Mine is that I am an ex-geologist. I did geology in the consulting firm, engineering firm world for about 17 years. Here's a photo of me back when I was a young guy in 1990, one of my first jobs at an open pit gold mine in western Nevada. In the beginning part of my geology career, GIS itself was pretty young then, as was I, and I had never heard of it back in 1990. I was first exposed to technology in 1998 when I decided to upgrade myself with a graduate degree. And at that time, I was very impressed with the power and potential of the technology. And from that point forward in my career as a geologist, I became a GIS specialized, office-bound kind of guy, far away from hard hats and big, dangerous trucks. And pursued that career track until 2004, when as I was reevaluating where I was going professionally myself, I realized, you know, the world of GIS isn't quite perfect. There's things that I've been waiting for as a GIS using professional for somebody to make and do and deliver to me so I can get my employer to buy this stuff and make my life better and make the life of the people that I support better as well. When is someone going to do that? And I decided in 2004 that I'd be the guy to do that, and thus the company that I'm going to be telling you about today. The problems that I identified in the world of GIS are fourfold. Firstly, the stuff is just too complex. And I know I'm talking to a room of fellow gurus here. But to regular, you know, GIS is not something that a normal person can just walk up to and sit down in front of and start doing. You need Mr. Wizard or Mr. Guru to do it, people like us. And it gets us jobs, and that's fine. But it's frustrating for employers and for people who are running companies that they have to have this GIS guru to make things happen. Okay, problem number one. Problem number two, the stuff is expensive. And this precludes it from usage by medium, small, and very small enterprises. They know about GIS, they've heard of the stuff, but it's something that bigger companies do and they can't because they can't afford to buy it, or even if they got it for free, they got to hire this guy, and we all make big bucks. That guy doesn't come cheap. Okay, third problem, even if even if you're at some firm that's got the bucks and the sophistication, where you've got the guru, you've got whatever it is that the guru is going to be using, the individual GIS technicians live in a life where everyone's on Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Now, what I mean by that, I heard some people laughing, so I think you know where I'm going with this. The world of the GIS worker is one where it's highly interactive, it's highly collaborative, because when you're starting that GIS project, rarely is it that you're starting from the blank page. You are getting other people's data and building your project on top of that. You're going to get some parcels here, some utility lines there, some surveyed gopher holes from a third source, put it together, throw some of your own data layers on top, and now you got your project. Finding and getting that data, we all know, is a pain in the neck for a variety of reasons that I won't go into because you're all gurus like me. Fourth and final problem, trash can, non-interactive. What I mean by this is you've gotten your project, you put it together, it's a work of art, it's beautiful, you show it to your boss loves it, your boss loves you, but your boss can only get a fully interactive experience on this map project that you've built. One, if they're in your office looking over your shoulder, saying, oh, wow, click on that, do a query here, do this, do that. Or if you've got a fully built out web GIS system where you can deliver it to their desk. Now, web GIS is still coming up. In most GIS installations out there, it's desktop workstations only. So the output that your boss or your end user that you're supporting, whoever they may be, is they're getting a map that's printed on paper, or maybe it's static web graphics. And it'll get them through that day, that occasion, whatever it is, but it's a piece of work product that's going to quickly become obsolete, and it's going to go there. And then when they need something new next week or next month, you do it all over again. Okay, four problems. And elaborating on those four problems, specifically these two right here, too expensive, too complex. This is my take on the present GIS landscape, where the two axes of this graph mean different things, as different axes often do. Top axis here, cost, complexity, and power of the GIS system. As you go up in cost and complexity, you're also getting more power for those things, so that's good. And so up here at the top end of the pyramid, where you're paying big bucks employing gurus, but you get the super powerful system, this is the realm of big business and kind of bigger medium organizations that can buy from the major vendors of GIS. Opposite end, other axis, user base. And it is a relatively small number of users who can directly access this technology. Now at the other end of the spectrum, where your cost and complexity are very low, but your power is also low, but you have a big user base of millions and millions of people, Google Maps, Bing Maps, MapQuest, MapThis, MapThat.com, all the web mapping free services out there. They're free, they're transparently simple, they look beautiful, you can get some driving directions or find a Chinese restaurant using these technologies. But they're not very powerful, at least not out of the box. And if you wanted to turn a Google Maps into something that's really going to be useful to you professionally, you got to start doing some coding on that thing to build it into what you want it to be. And so, the problem here is that we've got this white space of small and medium organizations where they want the ease and simplicity and inexpensivity of a Google Maps, but they need more of the power of what some of the traditional GIS vendors offer, and they're stuck in the middle without a really good option to go. So this is a need in the market that I also saw, in addition to the fact that even if you've got your technology, you're still running into Gilligan's Island and the trash can effects. And so the solution to these issues that I saw as a professional practicing the trade was a system that would be priced affordably, could be easy to use, could be optimized for multi-user collaboration, I'll get into that, and could offer end users who aren't really GIS people an interactive experience on the software. The result of which is we can tap into this this unmet need at small and medium-sized organizations. We can make life easier for GIS technicians in regards to developing their projects and getting data they need more easily. And we can bring non-GIS workers more directly into the workflow instead of having them be people who just wait for you to get them their output and they're kind of stuck until you get them something. The solution is Cartograph, and my mouthful tagline, collaborative map data workflow. I'll explain what that means as we move on. But before we go any further, common misconception. Here, somebody read this.
Carter.
No, not you.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to pick someone else. Okay, you, sir. Yes?
Loud. Okay, Cartograph is not going to replace your desktop GIS tools.
That's right.
Putting history out of business would be bad.
America's hurting right now. America's hurting. We don't want to tunnel the economy anymore. Then it's already getting beat up by Wall Street. Cartograph is not about, I'm not here to say that this is a better system than other major GIS vendors, such as GSRI, and that you need to, when you get home from your conference, you're gonna hit the uninstall button on your ArcMap and just make all that go away. Not at all. This is a situation where I'm filling a new niche. And Cartograph, and while Cartograph can stand alone as a GIS system for an organization that, has nothing, this can be a great starter system. In the case of organizations where you've already got your full desktop suite, Cartograph is meant to augment those desktop tools, not replace them. The reason being that, again, this is a web-delivered system, and web systems for the foreseeable future are not going to have all the capabilities that a desktop system does. And they don't need to, because what I'm going for is collaboration and sharing as the main focuses of this system. Okay, so now let's finally get into some of the real details of what this system does. Like I said when I started the presentation, Cartograph is a cloud-delivered, cloud web-delivered, cloud-delivered system for multi-user map collaboration. In the system, we have three user roles. What I'm calling here the power user, this cool guy in front of his computer here, that's us, the GIS guru, who has typically been isolated on their Gilligan's Island. We're getting this guy off of Gilligan's Island, and by setting him up as the coordinator of the system, who is in touch with the other users on the system, because it's all, again, web-delivered, your power user can organize all the data and then set up interfaces that your managers or your field staff people need to do their jobs. Data dashboards for your managers, I'll show you an example of that in a minute. Some streamlined data input forms for your field staff. And so all these people can be in touch with each other because they're all logged in to a network-delivered system. And then, additionally, within your organization, not only are your various workers all interacting with one another, but because this is a web-delivered system, your organization, through the power user, can be interacting with other organizations also on the system, because the web goes everywhere. So your organization can be exchanging map data layers or finished maps or data dashboards with other municipalities, government agencies, private firms, or whatever it may be. And now, elaborating, I said that the four merits of the system were these four here. Affordable. There's no hidden costs in the system. Because this is web-delivered and hosted by my company, you're not on the hook for a server or a system administrator or any of those issues. You pay for the software licensing on a per-user seat basis, and that's the only fee you pay. Secondly, easy to use, the learning curve is low. Well, how's that possible, fellow gurus? Well, it's possible because Cartograph, like I said earlier, I'm not trying to replace your desktop tools. You will not find menus inside of menus inside of menus inside of menus here. This offers a streamlined experience focused on the core functionality, but not trying to offer every functionality. You get to keep your desktop tools. If you have some far out analytical function that you need to do, and you have a certain extension on your desktop system for doing it, keep that. Do your analysis there. When it's time for you to share or publish your analysis with your colleagues, upload it to this system, and you can do so in a streamlined manner. Thirdly, collaborative, as I was explaining, with the various users working with one another. And fourthly, interactive. Your manager can log on to the system and have access to an interactive data dashboard directly connected to the data sources, and paper maps going in the trash can will be a thing of the past. Okay, software demo happens here. Now we're going to switch gears and make PowerPoint go away for a minute and pull up Firefox, and we will do a little getting confused by Windows, and we will do a little bit of quick driving. Okay, so past software demo here. We've logged in to an account on the Cartograph system, and what we see is, let's go to a list of data layers. Maps start with data layers. You gurus know that. So in this particular account, we have about 200 data layers that have been uploaded into the account. As I scroll down, you can see, you know, many, many, many things are going on in here. Let's just pick any old data layer. Hey, who here has been to Mono Lake in Mono County? Okay, yeah, I used to live there. I love that place. I've done some demo data based upon the Mono Lake area just for kicks. So let's, hey, remember, ex-geologist here. You know, volcanoes, glaciers, that kind of thing. So here is a map acquired from the USGS plotting all the volcanoes, active and extinct, in the Mono Lake region. Okay, thumbnail image of the map, some basic metadata. Oops, I was lazy, I didn't use my own description or keyword fields. It's pretty bad of me, but they are there if someone wanted to use them. And what I can do with this data layer is a variety of things. I can share it with other people, I can track statistics on the layer. Who have I shared the layer to, and what are they doing with my data layer that I shared to them? Attributes, add, drop, columns, rename columns, go into the individual records, rename records, edit records, create a color scheme, download the data back out in various formats, do some lightweight analysis, buffer and intersection on that data layer. And just going into this menu here, just to show you the different kinds of, I don't know if you can read this in the back, some of you people, but you can import into the system all the major data formats, shapefiles, rasters, WMS, GPS unit data, KML, gen files, that's a really old data type, comma separated values, even connect to remote databases. If you already got a bunch of data that you're maintaining, a SQL server, for instance, behind your firewall, you can make a connection direct to that data source so that you don't have to throw away your SQL server either. Okay, so that's an overview of data. Now let's look at maps for a moment. In this particular user account, we have 25 or 30 maps that have been developed from various data layers. This one particular map here, I'll go into the map building interface and you will see the way it works is lists on the left, these are the layers that are in the map. Lists on the right, these are the layers in your personal library of data layers that are available to be added into this map. And the way a data layer is added is you pick something that you want, you hit the add button, it pops over to the left menu, it's now in the map, and you can use the up and down buttons to adjust the Z order of where you want that layer specifically to be. But now, here's where it gets super cool, because remember, this is a system that's about collaboration and sharing amongst GIS professionals and the end users that they serve. So on this system, beside the default selection is me, but I can select any other user on the system that has shared data to me. I sound so much more authoritative when I use the mic. And so this particular user, user Rob, who has a number of data layers, has chosen to share one of them to me. And because he made a permission setting, giving user Tim access to his data layer, it appears automatically in my list of data layers. I can now select it, add it, and it's in my map. Now, the important thing here is I didn't have to wait for him to send me an email. I didn't have to download something from FTP. I didn't have to wait for a CD-ROM with his shapefile burnt onto it to come to me in the regular mail. And then I didn't have to manually import his data and fool around with reprojecting the map projection and fool around with rebuilding his color scheme. And all that went away because user Rob clicked three buttons, gave me access to his data. I made three clicks on my end, put it in my map, and I'm done. No reprojection, no manual import. I didn't lose his color scheme. It's just in there, and it just works. And I've got a patent pending filed on that capability. Okay, having shown you how maps are built really quick, because again, you're gurus, you don't need to be walked through this. Let's show you an actual working map interface briefly here. This particular map interface is showing a variety of things in the Los Angeles area. Layer list on the left, I can click into any data layer and have access to the various tools for classifying and modifying opacity, labeling, and all the things that a professional map maker requires in their tools. So the fact, point being that even though this is an internet-delivered system, I'm not skimping on the core capabilities that you need to do your basic job. And in addition, we have capabilities in the system for searching and sorting across different layers. So let's do a search right now across zip codes. Well, and we could do multi-criteria searching, though I'll just make a single criteria. And let's choose the name of the zip code. And let's choose has. And let's choose zip codes in Southern California that have the number 5 in them. I actually don't know what we're going to get, but let's find out. And okay, we got a lot of zip codes. 1,234 zip codes lit up there in red on the screen, and that's statewide. Now, if we want to limit that to just what's in the present map view, I select that checkbox that says limit to map area. It'll redo the search, and now we go down to 113 polygons in the present map view. Now, if I want to look at any one of those individual polygons in my search results, I can click it in the search result, and it's going to light up in yellow on the map in the top right corner, as well as be highlighted in the search result table. And then I have a number of convenience functions that we've come to expect in the search results themselves. Sort by column, reorder the columns, things like that. Okay, so now, having shown you in a quick way how data can be uploaded and managed and maps can be built from the data, the real, let's make this window go away. Everything I've shown you so far is what the power user is going to be using on the system, but where this system really delivers value to your organization is when it gives that power user the ability to more seamlessly support the end user, that manager guy who's afraid of GIS software. And what we can do is develop interfaces through this system that anybody in just a few minutes of time can sit in front of and understand how to use. And so now what I'm going to show you is an example data dashboard for a hypothetical, I'm going to stress hypothetical, environmental cleanup site, which is located at Mono Lake, California. Okay, so in this hypothetical scenario, all of the yellow triangles represent water wells going down to the groundwater table that are being monitored on some regular basis, and water samples are drawn, they go to the laboratory, the lab report comes back with, you know, 200 analytes that have been sampled for, and the data goes into the big database. And very quickly, the environmental manager and the regulator and the client and all the subcontractors are being drowned in data, and it becomes unwieldy to stay on top of what's happening on this project. And so, but through an interface such as the one I'm going to show you, we can untangle that hairball. So what we have here is on the left side of the screen a number of tools for searching or filtering through the data in order to find things of interest to you. So I'm going to add a filter by clicking that button, and I'm going to say I'm interested in wells of a certain type, that type of well being the groundwater wells. Those are the ones I want to see. And I executed the search, and this number of wells went down to 32 wells from what it was previously. And now I'm going to add a second filter. Okay, I added two. Let's take one away. I'm going to add a second filter, and in this case, it's going to be the wells of a certain zone. And our choices from zone are these two. We'll pick the background sampling zone. And 44 wells went down to 22 wells. Now all the wells are in view on the page. At this point, I could sort by different columns, or resize the column if I needed to make more room, or swap the column orders around in order to help me organize this data the way I need it to be. Meanwhile, I can flip back to the map at any point, and meanwhile, the map has been updating while I've been doing my searching. Now remember, when we started this, we had a bunch of wells out here as well, but I filtered those out, and now we're only seeing the wells, the 22 wells that meet my criteria. At this point, if I wanted to add another data layer to the mix to bring in some additional context, I could do that. Let's add in those volcanoes of the Mono County region by selecting it from the little drop-down menu that was hiding in, out of the way until now. So there's the volcanoes. This chain of volcanoes here, who knows what those are down there at the bottom of the lake? Those are the Mono craters. And let's add the earthquake faults as well. There you go. Volcanoes and earthquakes. Okay, now, what we've done so far, you gurus know, is all I've done really is do some basic searching according to the attributes in the shapefile. And, you know, this is nice and slick, but it's not really rocket science. So let's try to do something that might impress you people. Since this is an environmental project, and the key factor here is the laboratory data related to the wells, we're going to search for wells according to that data right now. Which is done through this second interface down here. I'm going to select the family of analytes I'm interested in. Oops, got a left click, not right click. Getting the wrong button, sorry. Okay, I'm going to select the VOCs, volatile organic compounds. And now I'm going to select a specific analyte in that family of a long list of chemicals with funny names. Let's pick styrene. I think that's what your styrofoam cups are made out of. I can optionally pick a minimum and a maximum value. I could select a matrix, these codes standing for, you know, water, water vapor, soil. I'll just leave it blank so it's a wild card. I could specify a time range if I cared to. I'll leave it open so that we'll get lots of hits here. And I'm going to hit this button that says update, and it's going to do a query against the related table that has about 25,000 test records in it. Some of our actual deployments, though, have around 500,000 records. So we hit update, the little spinner is going to spin for a moment, and now 22 wells goes down to 16, and a few more triangles, disappeared off the map. So at this point, let's zoom in on the island to get some more detail there. So at this point, so let's review. What we've done now is, through a system that's driven entirely by menus that anybody can be shown how to use in a few minutes' time, we've actually done something fairly complex. We've done a two-part attribute query and a one-part table join or cross-table SQL query, and then plotted the result on a map. In the regular world, in order for an environmental manager to do this, they would have to have the services of their database person and their drafting person and tell them exactly what they want and then wait 2 or 3 days to get the result back. And if it's not right, then you have to do it over again and pull an all-nighter because the conference call with the client is the next day. And this is a system where that the environmental manager can do all their own work on their own time, and even use this live during a meeting so that the meeting, it doesn't have to be limited to whatever got printed on the map, but the meeting can actually be a dynamic exploration of whatever the pertinent factors are to the project. And again, I know that this is not an environmental remediation conference. Most of you are assessors, so if use your imagination a little bit, and so when I'm talking about water wells and chemicals in the water, this could just as easily be whatever it is you people are interested in. I'm not really clear.
Valuations.
What that is. Money.
Additions to property. Anything we can value to collect taxes.
Okay, that was good. Anything we can value to collect taxes. You should run for office, Dwayne. Okay, and additionally, I could continue adding more and more filters to the top or even to the bottom here. I could filter by even more and more extra chemicals if I wanted to, but I'm just trying to make my general points and move on. So now, at this point, now we're ready to really put the cherry on top of this thing by inspecting individual wells for the full details related to those wells. So, for instance, if I click on one of these wells, either here on the table, or I could do it on the map. Here, let's do it on the map. Let's switch my tool and put my tool over this yellow triangle, and I'm going to get a tooltip that's telling me what the triangle is, what it's named, and that tooltip is something I could completely specify. That tooltip could have told me 17 different data parameters if I wanted it to, but I just set it up to show me the name of the feature. Now I'm going to click on that feature. A new window is opening. And okay, not too much data associated with this point. But what we get here is a split panel. The top half of the panel is full details of data related to that point. And as we scroll down here, let's see what we have here. Okay, there's some extra data. See, every one of those columns is a sampling event, and every one of the rows is the chemical that was being sampled for. And now what I can do is by selecting individual checkboxes, I can plot those items on the map. Let's do this one that has 4 points, so we'll get a line. And then what we can do is if I scroll to the top, all the way up here, and select everything in one shot, now I plot everything. And having now plotted things, so I can look at them spatially over time, I can make some more room for the graph. And through some of the other helper tools here, I could play around with the time range shown and switch between linear or logarithmic graphs and some certain other functions such as that. Okay, and so what this comprises, to now bring my large digression back home, is this is an example of the data dashboard that you could deploy, again, for your dumb boss who doesn't understand GIS, but he can be taught how to use something like this. Okay, and now I'm going to jump off of the software demo and jump back to the PowerPoint and wrap up this talk. How am I doing on time, Dwayne?
Good.
All right. Software demo happens here. And let's go back. Okay, so like I started off my talk, this business was started in 2004. And here's a sampling of some of our clients. It looks like the text is a little bit fuzzy there, but I'll be happy to tell you more about it if you want to come and visit my poster after the talk. We're serving municipalities, engineering consulting firms. In the case of this one here, Otay, they're in Ventura. They sell through to a number of federal clients, US EPA, Corps of Engineers, Naval Facilities Commands, using Cartograph in the manner that I just went through with the dashboard there for cleanup operations on Navy and Marine bases throughout Southern California. Bottom left corner, Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology, a state agency. Up in the top right there, UC Santa Barbara, USC, that use Cartograph for educational research as well as, in the case of USC, classroom education. Norris Repke Civil Engineering Firm, and federal agency, NAVC, out of Port Hueneme, nearby here, doing some logistical support for the ships at sea. One case study I want to elaborate on is Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology. They were serving, this other round logo here represents the Nevada Governor's Office. They were tasked by the Governor's Office to develop a map across the state of Nevada that identified potential right-of-ways or routings for next-generation power infrastructure that would come online to support all the solar farms, geothermal sites, wind farms, all those things that they wanted to bring online because they're trying to promote Nevada as one of the go-to places to go to for alternative energy. But the tricky thing about alternative energy is it comes from out-of-the-way places. And your windy places and your places where underground it's really hot or it's really sunny are far away. And so you have to get new power lines out to those regions. And the problem with that is, even in a state like Nevada, which is mostly wide open space, is that all the land is spoken for, as you mappers know. And so they had an issue of the main power line is here, and we need to run a spur from point A to point B to get to the solar farm, where it's going to be in 10 years. But all the land between point A and point B is spoken for, and the power line is going to cross someone's Air Force base and someone else's protected forest region and a third person's incorporated area. And so the power line is going to have to do some zigging and some zagging. And so now the challenge was that they needed to bring to the table simultaneously all the military base people, all the cities, all the utility companies, all, you know, the BLM people and the forest people and whoever. And everybody had a different level of sophistication in their mapping technology. From on the low end, a map is something that I draw on with a colored pencil and I fax it to someone when they need to get it right away. To the high end, which was, we've got all the latest, greatest software, everything, whatever. So that was challenge one, a disparity in mapping technology and in the sophistication of the users of the technology. Problem number two was a political problem. And as I've heard it said and have come to believe, in the world of technology, the technology part is actually easy. It's the people part that's hard. I think a lot of you have heard that. Here, raise hands. Who's heard of that? All right, a few of you heard of it. Now you all have. Technology is easy. People are hard. And what I mean by that is that they had political issues here where the military-based people said, we're not sharing our data with anybody. Are you kidding? Homeland Security. And the different towns were fighting with each other, and everyone wanted to hang on to their data. No one wanted to make copies for anyone else, and it was a complete logjam. So what we did was we got everybody onto the Cartograph system with their own accounts, and what they were able to do, I didn't show you this, but just take my word for it, is that through the sharing interfaces that exist in the system, what you can do is you can share who you want to grant access to your data layers to, and you can choose the degree of access, the default being none. But then one step up from none is view only. So you can see someone else's data, even put it in your map, but you don't get the data. And the most you can ever have is you can take a bunch of screenshots of it, I suppose, and have that. But the point being that this allows people to share and collaborate in a very controlled manner, such that you don't have to worry about somebody else running away with your data, and at some point when the project ends or they're not your friends anymore or whatever happens, you can rescind permission and your data never left your possession. It was always yours. No one else is ever going to have anything more than maybe some screenshots. And this overcame the political issues which were jamming up this governor's project, because it allowed everybody to get on a single system of standardized technology with built-in tools for essentially risk-free sharing that made the political issues go away, and they were able to collaborate amongst the various state and federal agencies to get this map done. And if you go to, again, you can't read this probably, but you can Google Nevada RETAC, and you can download their final report and see what they did with it. Okay, moving on. Oh, hey, the conclusion. All right. So, my software brochure made it into your conference bag. Thank you, Duane. I am offering a conference special on the pricing. I'll be happy to talk to anyone about that who wants to inquire. Thank you very much. I'm open for questions. Or we can go to the next talker. Yeah, great, thanks. What's the question, Greg?
The one thing that I thought was useful about Cartograph when we're playing around.
Oh yeah, let me say something about that. The County of Santa Barbara has been doing an evaluation on the Cartograph system. That's the offices of Assessor, Agriculture, Planning, Public Works. Greg has done some extensive testing on the system, and he'd be happy to tell you about it. what his own impressions are. But okay, so with that said, Greg, what's your question?
It's the one thing that he didn't show us was you have the ability to embed your maps into a website, or so you can create a map and put that link onto a website or into an email or something like that, so you can immediately see the view, the public view, if you've shared that to the public of that map, which is pretty useful.
Yeah, okay, so for the benefit of the people in the back who maybe didn't hear you, who here has heard of YouTube? Yeah, okay, yeah. Now, you people don't look like you're the blogger types, but...
Thank you.
Neither am I. But one thing that YouTube allows is the ability to take any YouTube video, and you can. There's a button there on the YouTube page, and it says embed this video, and you click that button, and it hands you a little snippet of code, and then you can just drop that into your blog or your Facebook page or whatever, so that you don't have to go to YouTube to see YouTube videos. And that's why you see those things everywhere, on Facebook pages, on different people's blogs, embedded in the New York Times online site, and whatever, because they have a really simple technology. You press a button and you can drop that video into some other website, and it's very handy. Same thing applies here. I didn't show it to you because I don't want things to run over, but in the site, as a part of the sharing interface on the maps, there's a button that says embed this map. You click the button, you get the snippet of code, and you can drop that map into some other website. You can wrap your other information around the map, and the map will be planted right in the middle in a fully interactive mode, or you could just directly email a link to the map to whoever. If you don't want to make a website about the map, but you just want to give the map to somebody, that's also possible. Thanks for that excellent question, Greg. Any other questions, or are we done?
So I assume this would apply...
You're outgoing.
I assume this would apply to the concept of one... the appraisers sort of being the managers, the mapping department of the GIS being the power users, and managers being the appraisers, who then can sort and filter their data, and other data that they may not have the ability to do on viewers that you might have now. And the other another one being is if anybody's struggling with a workflow in their department, and then they said, gee, you know, it'd really be cool to have a map-oriented workflow, and sort of say, when somebody says, oh, where is this work order? And you say, oh, it's, let me pull out the assessor's page that we have, that I have that work order tied to, so I can tell you where it is in the system. Then you go through all the process, or you say, you know, I've got all my work order, all my mappers, all my APNs kind of tied up in here, and I can search and figure out where all the work orders are and what mappers have them and where they are working, and I can also show it on a county map and query it by address or ATN number and get that information. And anybody else that you want to see that, but is limited to is the, you know, other manager in your office that want to check to see where anything is in terms of that recorded map being processed or something. I envision something like that. Any of that not be able to work with your system?
Those are just attributes of those features. So if the GIS data was created and related, then and they could. I think that there's in our county, we've been working with neighborhood codes.
That's what I was saying, the neighborhood codes, because I'm constantly having to make new maps for them as they tweaking the neighborhood codes.
And they're doing their own analysis now, and they want to be able to look at the stuff that's been developed, these codes for a future camera system. And so they really do need to be enabled to do some analysis. And those especially, you know, managers, appraisers being managers, they just need to be able to drill down in the data and do some queries. And this is an easy way for them to do that. one of our new applications that we have coming to our, well, may have come to our office, is a system that does something similar, where they're trying to enable the appraisers to be able to do some analysis about values and parcels and stuff, use scopes. So, yeah,
so that's great. Yeah, one of the appraisers, use codes is always a good one. Is that, you know, since we got that, had GIS, it was sort of like, okay, let's hit where the use codes are, you know, and, you know, the famous one was beaches and sand dunes.
Oh, yeah.
And we found, of course, beaches and sand dunes, which had a kind of a very generic number, kind of a number you might pick if you couldn't think of any other number. We found beaches and sand dunes everywhere in our county. And it was like, okay, you know, map department, you know, we'd like you to, you know, you guys found it, please clean it up. And we're going, well, wait a minute, you guys are the ones that are putting in use codes and doing this stuff. Shouldn't you guys be the ones that clean this up? And they said, well, we would if we could, but you know, you've got the software that can filter, find out where all these are.
And then we're constantly making maps so that they can visualize the system. That's just redundant.
So anyway, we say they need a little more GIS power at the appraiser's side of the fence.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Are you able to edit data then? The screen plate?
Yes.
Yeah, the answer is yes, you can edit data. You can, I'm not going to go back to, God, it's this thing is trying to kill me here.
Just close.
Oh, now I did it. Well, so much for the presentation. Yes, you can edit data. You can pull up data through the map. Like when I had done that query for the, you know, the zip codes, right? And I got the list there, and in the bottom panel there, I had all the results there. I could have gone right in there and edited any of the attributes then and there if I wanted to, because it was my data and I had edit privilege on my own data. Additionally, there is a digitized tool here. You can digitize right on the map through the web browser. This is not meant to replace AutoCAD. But just some, you know, if you needed to just do some simple outlining and whatnot, that can be done through the system as well. And I want to end on one last point, reemphasizing the capability not only within an organization for different workers of different roles. Yeah, what is that doing?
Thank you.
Okay, so not only can different workers of different roles within an organization collaborate in various ways, so, you know, as Dwayne was saying here, you could discover why are these guys making everything sand dunes in Santa Barbara County, but again, this system, because it's on the internet, okay, this isn't like a private cloud thing, hosted on your own infrastructure, your own server, limited to your own people. This is the internet, and so it can allow people in your organization to interact with other organizations. So if you're a county person and you need to interact with people at the various regional towns, for instance, you can do that through this system. So for instance, imagine that you're maintaining all the parcels for the entire county, and all the towns have to come to you every year or every 6 months to get updates on that parcel file, and what you do is you hand them the new shape files every time they come and ask for them, and you hope, one, that they'll come back soon for the next updates, and you hope, two, that maybe they don't give that shape file away to someone who maybe isn't supposed to have it, but you don't know what they're going to do because you're giving them the data, and once they got it, hey, it's out of your hands. So those are your worries. Meanwhile, their worries is, dang it, every 6 months I got to come go to that, talk to that county guy and get that shape file, and he always gives me a hard time about it. So their life is hard too. But through a system such as this, you could go into where you're maintaining your shape file and adjust a permission. Oh yeah, a town of Littleville can have access to my shape file, but only view access, because I don't want them screwing around with my data. But this will allow them to put my parcels in their map so that I don't have to look at them and they don't have to look at me every 6 months. And because every time I make an update to my shapefile, it's going to flow through to them, and they'll always have the most recent data, and they never have to come by here again, and that makes everybody's lives better. I think we're done, Dwayne. How are we doing on time?
We're good.
All right, thank you.